There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Big congratulations to Peacock, who won this week's Mason Hills Farm $100 gift certificate for all the great meats from Mason Hills Farm. You have a little grilling out for next football games next weekend or during the week, whatever. It's yours, and we'll do it again next week as well. Every week during college football season, $100 gift certificate from Mason Hills Farm, you get to win. And speaking of Joey and the gang down there, Smoke on the Farm this weekend starts 4 o'clock this afternoon. You got the cooking teams down there. Here's my plan. Here's my plan. It's just to sneak around down there and just get little sample here and a little sample there. And get the best in the cooking that's going on. Of course, this is not only just a great event to go enjoy. It's a barbecue competition, the SCA Steak Cook-Off. But a group I believe in, a whole bunch we do around here, Victory Health Partners, are the beneficiaries of this event. So hopefully we'll see you down there. Opens up at 4 o'clock this afternoon for Smoke on the Farm. 4 to 8:30 tonight. Then tomorrow, doors open, or gate. Gate opens at 10. 10 in the morning, goes to 8:30 tomorrow night. So get out and enjoy it. All right. Look up and I see my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Sean.
I watched another one of these videos last night. Something else came up. We can go back to the kid with the dog, you know, that's came out like this is the recovery from Helene, and you had this little sweet little girl with sweet little puppy holding it, and it came out and everybody's it's so beautiful. And you know, politically they're saying this is what this administration, the Biden administration, is doing out there. And this kid, whether you believe the Biden administration has done a fair or poor, or FEMA has done a fair or poor job in Western North Carolina and Tennessee and all that, it took about a minute and a half before people went, you know, that's not real.
Oh, boy.
That picture's not real.
Like the Swift Trump supporters.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Stuff.
Yeah. This stuff is, I mean, it's with us, but during election season, I think you have these kind of moments where it's like, I don't know if it's the Manhattan Project of deep fakes, but election season could be a call to arms there. There's a lot of stuff out there that I get sent daily here. People are like, man, look at this. This is horrible. And I go, yeah, but it's not real.
Yeah. People don't research enough. And it's so easy to produce something out there that looks legit.
And the stuff is getting, like, in the past, people get fooled by stuff. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, but like the little girl with the dog thing. Yeah, sure, the internet sleuths who spent time, they said it's this, this, and this. But if somebody's scrolling through Facebook or something like that and not studying, yeah. You know, like, oh, the hands don't look right. Where's the rest of the boat? All that stuff.
Right, yeah.
They just see it and it registers. And it's almost like, you know, if you have a headline that's inaccurate and then the paper in the old days would come out with a retraction. Well, the retraction didn't ever. It was like back behind Marmaduke in the paper or whatever. The initial headline that was erroneous got everybody's attention. And then they believed that.
The damage was done.
Yeah. And so with AI, as it gets better, and it's getting better, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot better.
Scary better. Yeah.
So how do I tell anybody that hey, you got every picture, every story you see, you got to take, you know, 2 hours out of your day to debunk it?
AI, I mean, so break it down like this.
Yeah.
So AI is a really good thing for traffic lights, traffic patterns in the city. It can, you know, make Airport Boulevard flow better and
God
such.
God bless it.
Now, whether they're employing that or cameras, so they put AI processing in the CPUs and the cameras. And what that does is it looks, and first off, AI is just machine learning. As processors have gotten more powerful, they're able to pull in all kinds of data that would take a, you know, 20 people in a table looking at all these images or data and pulling it all together and making decisions.
And that's the thing, right? The scope of it. Because, I mean, in computing forever, I've been able to type in, what's the capital of Madagascar?
Right.
You know, and it kicks me back.
Yeah, so it's like doing that millions of times a second.
Right.
And able to make simple decisions based on machine learning characteristics. Mm-hmm. And it's able to make different decisions on quickly changing data too. So big data, if you ever heard of that, it's like cloud. Mm-hmm. I mean, we IT folks, we can make up the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, big data. So IBM was pushing it. Big data just meant a ton of data. So you got all this data. I mean, think about all the logs that you generate at any given day on your computer and your cell phone, cell towers, and all that stuff. AI is able to take all of that and understand patterns, understand issues and fix it or reroute data somewhere. So it has a lot of good uses.
I think that is good.
And sooner or later, your car is going to drive itself and your car is going to react with other cars around it. And it's going to correct traffic issues or it's going to correct speed. It's just coming. I mean, air traffic control too, it's been used there. The power grid, there's a lot of research being developed into that to make, you know, the power grid smarter, you know, get around demand, get around areas of demand. So AI can be really beneficial. But it has the downside of like generating pictures that on its own, or not on its own, because it's not.
Right. It doesn't up and do it, but it gives somebody.
Somebody does it, yeah.
But, yeah, and you give it this command, I guess, to do a thing, and then it can do it. That's like the idea. You could say, hey, give me, and I've heard small examples of this. I think this gets better, but we could even say, give me a debate between, I just had Caroline Dobson on. Mm-hmm. Give me a debate between Shamari Figures and Caroline Dobson. And if you do that, what I've seen, I haven't seen them do that specifically for that case, but other cases like it, it could create the debate between the two.
Correct.
With questions and how one would answer and the other.
There's something called text-to-speech, right? So that's been out since the Commodore 64.
And we get it here as people text us in some kind of gibberish, and I'm like, oh, that's text-to-speech.
Right.
Or speech-to-text.
Yep. So text-to-speech, you know, typically a human would have to write it out and all that, right? And you hit play and it reads it. Now there's inflection, there's emotion, there's all that stuff.
AI gives
it that ability to.
Can you give me a regular world spin on how that is done in coding? Because I've heard it. Now, instead of it talking like this, it talks like we do.
It's got anger, yeah.
Yeah, how is that coded? That's what's, I can't understand what binary
there's
strings.
An AI engine that does all that. So
it know?
Well, by a lot of complicated instructions that are built into the AI system itself. So AI itself is a bunch of instructions on what does inflection sound like? What does anger sound like? What is, what does Sean's voice sound like? It's able to sample your voice in, I think, 50 words or less and produce something that sounds a lot like you that you have to be really good. We've got one. We have an AI engine that we've been messing with for the PBX system, and it's scary crazy. In fact, there's a piece on it that says, I certify that this is allowed, because we've been playing with each, I'll talk into it and just play it. In fact, I could do it. It's pretty scary, but within about 50 words, it gets pretty accurate. So there's that engine itself has all those commands and has all those strings in it, and it's its own application. And so you have a text-to-speech that we're all familiar with. You type in text, and it reads it like a robot. You push it into the AI engine instead of that voice engine, and then you tell it, hey, I want it to be angry. I want it to be sad.
And in that AI engine, which is – I know it's real, but it's just hard – it knows what angry sounds like, just because you've given it examples.
Yes,
like, here's what angry sounds like. Here's what sad sounds like. Here's what happy sounds like.
AI is able to mimic human decisions, human learning, by enhancing the algorithms that already exist. So it's just a smarter way of analytics. So Google Analytics, for example, Google search engine's been pretty... it's been around, I don't know, a long time.
Do you think they're going to break, a side note, do you think they're going to do this breakup of Google? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think so.
They're going to mob it?
Yeah, I bet. But the good thing, well, good and bad thing, you know, it was pretty easy to understand phone systems in a, you know, like there's lines in the sand there. Mm-hmm. Google, think about that. How in the heck, you know, where are you gonna put the line in the sand when the Google engine itself has so many different APIs? Mm-hmm. APIs are little pieces of like Google Maps has mm-hmm. an API that goes into Waze and, you know, so okay. on and so forth. How are you gonna split all that up?
That's gonna I don't know. Be, yeah, where yeah. what goes where?
And who? What judge and jury out there is smart enough to be? I mean, that would be a hellacious task. That would take forever.
So the other thing on the AI, and we'll go to the break here, and I'm going to come back and talk about this. That there's the AI we're talking about. There's also this fear of when it becomes sentient. When it becomes,
I've got an opinion on
okay.
that.
Okay, and we'll talk about that because I got this test there where yep. you know and. So we're come back more with John Hill from Ascension Technologies. You got questions about AI, 343-0106. And AI, don't call.
We'll just answer it with AI.
Okay, AI answering AI. That'll be good.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 to Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You got junk in your way. Could be at the house. Could be a storage unit. Could be at your office, house you're getting ready to sell. Wherever you got junk. We got a friend that does this, been doing it for 16 years, Trey Bennett, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Getting junk gone. Make a good old-fashioned appointment. You can do it online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they make that appointment. A specific time on a specific day. It's such a refreshing thing. And they show up. You're there. You point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. So use the people I have, or my buddy Trey, personally, so many of us at the station have, and so many people in Mobile and Baldwin County have. You got junk. You want it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The question, so if we're back, you're just joining us, it's my buddy John Hill from Ascension Technologies, and we're talking about AI. So this idea that there's this time when AI awakens and becomes self-aware and sentient.
Terminator.
Terminator, yeah. And then all these other movies afterwards. So what are we looking at here?
I think at the point when you start meshing electronics in with living tissue, that's when you need to start worrying. But I think a lot of this other stuff is just freak out. You know, yes, it's getting smarter, but at the end of the day, a CPU with ones and zeros, a machine level, there's something called the OSI model, just I digress real quick, that talks about, you know, layer one is the physical connection, you know, the ion, you know, the electrons going across a piece of metal and all that. Layer two is... you know, I digress. But the model goes up to the application layer. So you got the Ethernet layer, that's the IP layer and all that. You still have all those pieces in this. You still have a computer, this thing, you know, with a CPU, with a RAM and all that, all the parts that work together to process that application. It's still an application. It's still human controlled. Somebody programmed it. It might have gathered a lot of information on its own from where God knows what source, and applies analytics to it that may change. However, it is still a computer. So, you know, is it going to wake up? Probably not, because at the end of the day, you can unplug it, take the battery out of it, and all that.
Yeah, but I mean, I could play this game and say, well, then it's jumping to another machine as you chase it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's all sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, that's how a virus works, or that's how vulnerabilities work. It's not totally unfounded, but the damage it could do is questionable.
You think just because it's not flesh and blood, because it's zeros and ones, it could be stopped?
Well, correct. Okay. And here's another danger. When you have cars, the power grid, the water, because all of this can, I mean, all of this AI can help it. When all of those are talking to each other and something happens to one, and it just, to your point, goes to another, goes to another, mm-hmm. goes to another, then you could have some issues, I would imagine, or surmise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly, I would say, that would be from an outside, influencing it to do something stupid. So that part, I would say, you know, all these people that are throwing all these laws through, you need to have some laws to secure the darn stuff and say, hey, look, there's got to be some delineation between your water systems, your wastewater plants, and the power company. There's got to be some separation of church and state there.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to have some bad actor get in there messing with it. You know, that's what I would be focused on, other than, oh my gosh, is it going to wake up and start talking to me one day? But the scary thing to me is the tissue, the living tissue, hesitate to say it's human or not, but the tissue they're growing, you know, all that mm-hmm. stuff's getting pretty scary. Mm-hmm. Not scary, but advancing. Meshing that with electronic infrastructure, whatever yeah. you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like Neuralink and that
yeah,
kind of stuff?
Yeah, but growing tissue
right.
with electronic circuitry in it to influence it. I've heard a lot of that.
Is this happening?
It's hard to believe what you read
online, right? Yeah.
I don't. I highly suspect somebody's playing with it. There's got to be. I mean, think about it. It's the next evolution. I mean, Neuralink, they're putting, mm-hmm. they're already growing tissue.
And the problem is, if you want to stop that, so if you said, oh, this Neuralink thing could become this, that, and the other, well, I can sit here and say, and you want to keep this person who has not had the ability to speak or have motor function, you want to stop it? That's the tough thing, because I can see both sides. I can make the argument that yeah. this can be.
But Sean, that's how we're going to get there.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Because there's going to be an argument.
The benefit, and the benefit's going to get perversed into something, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But that's the part that I would say you need to be watching for, be concerned about, as the biomedical catches up with that technology and it mushes together somehow. You know, the rest of it's real far-fetched. CPU, you know, the power to compute, I mean, good grief, you're talking like, you know, Google has 40,000 square foot computers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, rows of them that do functions, and the kind of processing power to do what I've heard some people talk like, oh, it's coming. That's just, I mean, today. Now, you know, in 10 years, this might be a different conversation.
Is there some wheel? Is there some Rosetta Stone that could happen that could, instead of it being incremental in growth, it could be exponential? You know, is there something? Is there a thing? I mean, think about semiconductors. Think about where we are, like before that and after that, mm-hmm. where we went,
or how long it, or just in 10 years, what's changed? Mm-hmm. There could be some breakthrough, but today, just the sheer power and cooling and housing of all that,
mm-hmm.
it'd be difficult to have something walking around that could, you know, that you couldn't just cut the power to and be like, okay, you're done.
The thing that I can see, I'm with you, that's scary, but the thing that I can see scares me less than the thing I can't see, right? Mm-hmm. The AI that is inside every, those are the ones that, you know, and there was a, and we'll run out of time here, but it's been 10 years ago, I read the story where they set up a computer, taught it to, no, they said, learn to play chess.
Mm-hmm. Watson?
IBM. They didn't tell it, hear the rules. They had done that before. They could program a computer that could beat any person. Right. In this case, they said, blank computer, go learn to play chess.
Mm-hmm.
Went, learn to play chess. And then it found another computer to play chess against. And then they watched the rules change in the language. And pretty soon the computers were playing a different game
mm-hmm.
than even chess. And it changed rules and language, and they didn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I know that's a decade plus old, but that one always gave me chills.
Yeah. And
it was done with the humans.
Right.
Like, we're going to do our own thing
now.
And
it just made, it made its own rules. Yeah. And like I said, I think if you had the separation of all these things that this stuff is good for, to protect against something like that, and protect against like a total system, you know, where your power grid's down, your wastewater's down, your water's down because AI decided to play games with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and put some constraints around what you can use it for and what critical activities that it can be involved in. Yeah, I mean, you know, but yeah, the technology is going to blossom as CPUs and as compute systems get smaller and, you know, more compute cycles could get, you know, can fit in that little square inch of silicone, you know, you'll have to, you know, this will be more of something they'll have to deal with, you know, as things get smaller and more efficient.
Yeah. And that's what they do.
Yep. And these apps that, you know, so, and just, you know,
yeah,
if
wrap
you,
up here.
Yeah. But if you tell, one of these art programs, for example, like, you know, paint me a picture with a dog in a creek. That wasn't possible before without, you know, really good digital artist, right? So that's what, you know, that's where AI in that respect is coming from. It knows what a dog in a creek looks like.
Or it has to have something to pull from. Right.
Exactly. So it's able to pull all that together and make something really darn convincing. So that's a small form of AI that you can go mess with online, you know, or whatever. But yeah. Anyway,
here we go.
That's how it influences like a digital art program, in other words.
John Hill, Ascension Technologies. I don't know if I'm more frightened or less frightened after that, but got me thinking. Thanks, John. We'll get
no
you back
problem.
Soon.
Yep.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. So much coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that here more in just a second. I'll tell you what's going on right now is Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I got my friend Anna on the line. You were mentioning during the news break there, y'all have the legendary, what is the series that you have the update on?
It's the Legendary Warrior series. They're an ounce of fine silver. They're medallions. And it's basically historic heroes. That's the way I look at it. And there's seven of them out so far. The latest one that came out is Joan of Arc. And there's Eric Bloodaxe, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great. You know, a lot of the legendary ones that you would have heard, definitely.
So it's kind of like get one and collect them all kind of deal?
Yes. Yeah, there's seven so far, and I don't know if there'll be more. I haven't heard anything yet, but Joan of Arc, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, I you know, I mean, for everybody, but for ladies, I mean, you put in the Legendary series, she's pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, all the other ones were all males, you know.
I know, it's about time. It's about time. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So if people want to check out that series, of course, and come in and just talk about precious metals or jewelry or all the collectibles there, how do they find y'all?
They can find us at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Good stuff, and I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
See you, Sean.
See you. Thank you. Hey, think about it, for a side note here, and we're going to talk about some bluegrass music in a second, but just a side note, Joan of Arc, or even better, she said Alexander the Great. You know, people today want some kind of footprint to last beyond themselves, do something, have a... Yeah, politicians have a building name for him or a bridge name for him. Think about your Alexander the Great. You didn't know you were going to do that. You didn't know you'd end up being called the Great. But 3,500 years, I got an educator here, might be able to help. 3,500 years later, people are still talking about you. Well, pretty good. If he only knew. Joined by Amanda Talk. We can talk some education and some bluegrass. He is the principal at Stapleton School. Right?
That's correct.
Jim Perry joining us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think it's 3,500. Oh, yeah, if we do them about 3,500. Alexander the Great. Now, that's, you know, people go, I got a bridge name for something. Yeah. You're not still alive in the vernacular 3,500 years later. Pretty good thing. You come in here. I know a principal's coming in. I pictured how a principal's going to be dressed. And you're in your street clothes because you got a bluegrass T-shirt on. And good to see you in here because I like talking about bluegrass and this event coming up for benefiting Stapleton Schools. Or what? Tell me about this.
Absolutely, yes. As far as the dress, it's Blue Jean Friday. And
okay.
I thought, well, gosh, I'm going to be on radio, not TV.
So that's right. Well, you look at us in here. Yeah, they yes. we dress for radio. First of all, let's talk about the school. And tell me, this is, because you arrived at this, I think I'd read something, that you arrived at this a little later in life.
I did. I'm privileged to be doing my dream job. At 50, I became a teacher. after having been in the military and the business world for a number of years.
Well, thank you.
And so I love that I got a chance to be in the classroom first. That had been a dream for many, many years, and it wasn't until my kids were grown that I was able to pursue that. And then I was in the classroom for a few years, was an ESL teacher for a couple more, and then moved to administration, and was blessed 9 years ago to be given the sweet little school, Stapleton, over in Baldwin County. And as I mentioned, this is my ninth year that I've been there.
But it is, you hear people go, well, I did this and then I switched careers. I don't know how many Mr. Perrys there are that switched to education at 50.
Well, I went to college initially, South Alabama, in the 70s, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I'd been a foreign exchange student and just wasn't clear on path, and ended up leaving college, joining the military. And in my mid-20s, I had two kids by then, and I realized, you know, I think I would love to go into education. But at that point, I had a young family and didn't have a degree.
Right.
And the reality of it was that educators don't make that much money. And in the business world, as a plant manager, I ran plants for about 20 years. My income was much higher than it was once I left that to get a degree and become a teacher. So it wasn't until my kids were grown that I was really felt empowered to pursue that.
Your true calling to it. And I'm thinking about, you get people that have a heart of service. I talk to a lot of my friends that are veterans that they come back and then they continue to do stuff to give back. And here you are, you served our country there, and then you come back and serve our kids. Thank you.
Well, that's very kind of you. I you know, people have said that to me, and I feel like in some ways it's the most selfish thing I've done, because it's I'm pursuing something that I'm passionate about and something that I love doing. And being an elementary school principal is just such a joy in so many ways. So I feel very privileged.
So you know from his gig and you know from his voice, obviously a patient man. It takes certain people to do it. You've got a Bluegrass Festival coming up. Let's talk about this, the 2024 Stapleton Bluegrass Festival.
That's correct, yes. The reality is that schools have to raise funds. Now, most of our funds, of course, are met by the state and by the district. But other things that we want to do, improving the school, making it a better place, bringing other opportunities to our kids, fundraising is necessary. And there had been a Bluegrass Festival in the Stapleton community starting back about 40 years ago. And had actually taken place on the campus of the school, but hadn't happened for over 20 years. And at the time that it occurred, the school wasn't directly associated with it. So once I got to the school and was looking at ways to be able to raise funds for the school, and I became aware of that history, it just seemed like a cool way to raise money. And it really is pretty fun. And it's become really quite an extraordinary event for our school and our community as well.
Yeah, I'm not trying to downplay what other people do, but this sure as heck beats a bake sale. I'm sorry. This is more fun than a bake sale.
It sure is. And, you know, it exposes our kids to a whole different type of culture that they wouldn't have otherwise seen. It honors the history of our community. It's become really important to our community as well. And one of the things it does, we're a small school in an unincorporated area, not a big business base, working class families. So because this is more of a regional event, it brings funds in from outside of the community. Sponsorships, and we have a grant from the Alabama State Council on the Arts, and we have fans coming from as far away. Last year we had people from Texas and from Jacksonville, Florida, from Huntsville, Alabama. We've got people coming from far and near to the event. It's really become quite a great event.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the layout of the event. When does it start? Like, if we want to hear some great bluegrass, tell me where to be and when.
Sure. It's always the fourth Saturday in October.
Okay.
Thus, this year it's the 26th. The music will start, first band starts playing at 10 o'clock and runs continuously all the way till 5:30. We have a really extraordinary campus as well. It's a beautiful outdoor campus. In the back part, it's an area that's a sloping lawn covered with oaks and pines and filters down to a little holler area where we had a stage built. And that's where the bands play, bring lawn chairs and under the oaks and the pines. And weather that time of year is always great. So it's a really beautiful venue. And then the bands are playing, like as I say, continuously throughout the day. We've got 9 food and beverage trucks there. We've got a series of different activities that we've arranged for kids. So it's a very family-friendly event. Admission is $10 for a great day full of music, and the bands. I can talk about the bands as well.
Absolutely.
So the bands, you know, one of the things we made the decision to do was we wanted to increase the prominence of the festival. So we started bringing in some really prominent national bands. And this year we've got three bands that are coming in that have national reputations. One of them just made their debut on the Grand Ole Opry, and their album that they released last year debuted at number one in the Billboard charts. They're fixing to debut another album. That's the Amanda Cook Band. She originally is out of Northwest Florida. Got a band called New Blue out of North Carolina. And their first four albums were top 10 albums. So they've been
That's doing all right, yeah.
Yeah, they're great as well. Another band that's prominent is Tennessee Bluegrass Band. A relatively new band, but they've really made a big reputation, a big splash. So we've got three bands with those big reputations. And, of course, we want to help bolster the local bluegrass community as well. So we have local and regional bands appearing, as they have many years, as Fat Man Squeeze, which is a really prominent bluegrass band out of Mobile.
I know. At least one of those old boys.
So they're terrific. And to give them a little quick aside, I'd never had anything to do with the Bluegrass Festival before. So we brought in Andy McDonald with Fat Man Squeeze, and he was the person that advised us about what to do and how to create a festival.
Don't inflate his head any more than needs to be done to Andy's. But this is great. And so if people, I mean, it sounds like if somebody said, I think I like bluegrass, but I don't know, this is a time for them. Or somebody like, I'm a fan of that specific band or the mm-hmm. genre, this is a great time for them as well to come out and soak it all in.
Absolutely. And I'll punch into, there's two other bands. So there's six bands. One band is out of Prattville called Firetown. First time they're appearing, and looking forward to hearing them. They've got a good reputation in that area. And then a band called Weary Heart out of Northwest Florida. So we try to bring in both national and regional bands. But yeah, this is a great way to spend the day.
I mean, six hours of bluegrass.
Yes. It's actually seven and a half.
I didn't do the math correctly. I have to go back to remedial. I mean, this is, and so you come out, $10, $5 for children, and it is all the money is going back to the school, or how does this work?
Yes, sir. Every bit of this is our school's biggest and most important fundraiser. So all of the funds are used to improve our campus and to improve our academic programs.
All right. I'm getting some questions here. Is there a website to check out for this?
There is. We have both a Facebook page, Stapleton Bluegrass Festival. Just search for that. But we also do have a website as well, just www.stapletonbluegrassfestival.com.
Also saying, T-Bone says, consciousness and bluegrass music are two of my top three favorite things. So you got some of those things are good. And once again, this is coming up in two weeks from tomorrow.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes, sir.
See, I did that math right. Good stuff. So this is, and people are interested in this. The website's there. We'll remind y'all before, because you know how we are. People didn't write things down. We'll need to be reminded again going into that weekend. So they don't have to have the tickets ahead of time. They can...
Either way, they're available online at the website has those tickets, but certainly welcome to purchase at the gate as well.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, it's Mobile and Baldwin counties. We often decide to do things just a few hours before the thing happens. Well, best of luck. What a cool event. And thank you for doing this, Bluegrass Festival, but also thank you for serving our country in multiple ways. That doesn't go unnoticed.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say.
All right. Principal over at Stapleton School and a bluegrass aficionado.
I have fast become one. I'm very much a fan now, for sure.
So you're now in the ranks.
Yes, the first festival I went to was ours, but I've enjoyed it very much, and I've been to others since.
Good stuff. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming back, we'll be talking to this weekend kicks off the Baldwin County Parade of Homes. Susan Moraz, who's the builder of this year's Showcase Home, joins me next on Midday Mobile.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And great to have Susan Moraz on to talk about what gets cranked up this weekend, the Baldwin Home Builders Parade of Homes. Susan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Parade of Homes time. Y'all obviously picked the most beautiful time of the year in October to do this. So good on y'all there. And this is how many years for y'all? I mean, it's been happening a long time.
Yeah, well, the Showcase House Builders moved. I don't know the actual year, how long the Showcase, the Prairie of Homes has been going on. This is our second house that we've done, though.
Yeah, I think the total has been going on, I think, I was reading like 30-something years. But, yeah, for y'all's involvement, I want to get to that because, of course, the Showcase home this year. But the overall, so tomorrow starts a Parade of Homes. How long does this last?
It lasts two weekends. It's the 12th and 13th from 9 to 5, and then the 19th and 20th from 9 to 5.
Okay. Neighborhoods involved in this, where are people going to see the homes?
So you're going to have the Showcase home in the North Hill subdivision here in Fairhope. Then you've got a couple of homes in the Verandas, and some D.R. Horton subdivisions have some homes. It's scattered throughout Baldwin County. I think there's some homes down in Foley. So there's going to be a variety of homes for you to look at this year.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. You beat me to my question. Like the homes, so many different kinds of homes. Somebody may, you know, be looking to downsize or upsize, or you know, just move horizontally. I guess you have different choices for them to look at.
Yes, correct. We've got $1 million homes in here to probably $300,000 to $400,000 homes.
Okay.
So
that's good. That's a range. I think that gets people's attention because yeah. I mean I think yeah. some of us like to go. Look at those $1 million homes, maybe for ideas or, you know, just to enjoy something like that, but that may not be the budget. So there are homes less than that for people to look at.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Showcase home. Now, 2 years ago, I got to see one of your builds for the Showcase, and it was, I mean, what a beautiful house. I walked through and said, well, that's fantastic. And you go, well, look at this next room. I said, well, that's even better. So I know you've probably outdone yourself again this year. Where's the Showcase home? You said the neighborhood is what?
It is North Hills subdivision. It's out here in Fairhope. It's off of 104. And again, it's just a beautiful subdivision. This house is on Teton Ridge. It's 601 Teton Ridge. And this, again, is in front of a lake. So we've got the beautiful lake view off the front screen porch. And it's 4,022 square feet. It's a four-bedroom, four-bath with an office that you can use as a five-bedroom if you need to. It's got two bonus rooms this time because one wasn't enough last time. we have an oversized two-car garage. It's got a lot of great features. I don't want to give them all away. I'll give you a little bit of got Cambria court countertops. It's got a great, beautiful back porch that leads into our courtyard. But you really got to come out and see it. I don't want to give it all away.
Now, you've mentioned you used porch a couple times. Now you're talking my language because I love being outside. So obviously this is part of, because I saw this before in your builds, this is something you incorporate, that outside inside.
Yes, yes. We have a really nice courtyard that you can utilize for, it's got a fireplace. We did the outside a little different this time. The fireplace is actually in the courtyard. It's not under the covered patio, but it's very functional, and we actually really love the setup. I think our customers are going to love it. So,
well, and as you've been doing this over the years, have you seen changes in what your customers are asking for? Does that change decade to decade, year to year? Kind of what's the pacing on that?
You know, I think it just goes with the what's going on in the world. Honestly, I mean, we went from a big everybody. Wants to be inside, and then now everybody wants to be outside. Everybody wants to have the open floor plans. Nobody likes to be enclosed in separate rooms. So you just have to pay attention, I guess, because now it's all open floor plans. It's real light and airy. It's going back to the earth tones, and you know, just being grounded, and just a lot of outside area. Everybody wants to be outside.
Yeah, I like that. I'm one of those people, Susan, so I fit in that description. All right, so...
Yeah, me too.
So we can start... Tomorrow starts up the first weekend of the Parade of Homes, and we can check out the home there. Is there a best time to do this? I mean, we just get online. I mean, what the doors open literally, I guess, at what time?
So all the doors are supposed to open at 9 a.m. If you any of the homes will have a magazine that you will pick up that will give you a map of how to, you know, navigate through all the homes that are available and the directions and so forth. in the parade of home or in the showcase home, we also have a charity that will take donations when you come through the showcase home. And that charity this year is Make-A-Wish. And so those donations will go to that organization, which is a great organization. But you can also get those books here and all the information you need to tour the parade.
Now, where is that? Where can we go ahead of time to get the books?
601 Teton Ridge Road.
Okay, so when we come to the showcase home, we can get the guide to check out the showcase home and then other homes inside the parade.
That is correct.
Susan, as always, I appreciate it. Can't wait to see this year's Showcase Home. Thanks for coming back on with us, and we'll see you soon.
Well, thanks for having me, and we look forward to seeing everybody.
All right, there she is, Susan Mraz, builder for this year's Baldwin Home Builders Parade of Homes. Go check it out this weekend and next weekend.